you out?
They did.
Oh, so offended.
What was that about? I don't think that was very kind.
It wasn't.
Go to Titus 2, if you will. Titus 2. Well, sorry, it's okay. Come on. You can come back to your spot if you want to. All right, so I just said. Your husband texted me and said, "You locked my wife out."
He's looking out for me.
They're always watching. Okay, and John is here. That means we can start. Let's pray together. Father, we pray you will give us a heart to care deeply about those around us who are lost and to model before them the life that would make your message attractive and draw them to you. We pray that you would use us as your instruments. In Jesus' name, amen. So can y'all remember back to last Sunday night? Or is that a week gone and gone forever? Because Sunday night did not at all go like I expected. I was going to go back and touch a little bit on kindness and move on and do a completely different topic. And then we just spent all that time talking about what kindness looks like in life, which, if I can be plain with you, is exactly what I hoped we would do in this class. So I'm delighted with what happened last Sunday night. And I wanted to stir your minds about that because I would like for that to continue to happen. I appreciate Greg's going door to door. I'm not sure which one to choose. I'd like to see you continue to share your experiences and your thoughts because I can't begin to know what your lives are like. I live in a weird little bubble. Come on, Greg, it's good. Come on. We've all been waiting anxiously as you were.
She always sits here.
I tried to get her to sit there too. Anyway, I would like to hear how you see the things we're talking about working out in your life. So, in Titus 2, I actually want to go to this list we introduced at the very beginning of class. Remember the categories: old men, old women, young men, young women. He works through that list. I want to go to the very first thing in the very first list. So in verse 2, he says, older men are to be, now watch this word, temperate. And that's the idea that I want you to think with me a while for a little while about tonight. It is the first word in the very first list that Titus gives. Temperate. Some of you may be thinking, well, I am female, so I did not need to come to class tonight. This is the old man list, and you can even maybe see why young men would need it, because they'll be hopefully old men one day. But if you're a woman, you're never going to need the old man list, right? So why did we give the ladies a pass tonight? And Kenneth, after that, dares to be the one to speak first.
Well, now I have a question. What's the third word in your list?
We'll get to that in a minute.
No, because mine's temperate.
I know. We'll get to that in a minute. Oh. I'll go to hang on to me with it. Hang on for just a second, and we'll cover that. Let's deal with this question first. Why do women need to be present for the old guy list?
I hope the old guys get to that. to get to the point, old guys, and to get to
so
the
women need to do this so you can help us to be temperate. Okay. I wasn't sure if you meant that or that y'all need to help us get old.
Both
are true. Any other thoughts about that? That there is a point here. I'm not just messing around.
Well, we all probably need to be temperate.
Do we?
Yes. Definitely.
Okay, if we all need to be temperate. I'm sitting here, my mind's going, should I pick on my wife? Is that wise? If we all need to be temperate, why is it on the old guy list? Why not on everybody's list?
We have a propensity to not.
Okay. What did you say? You grumbled over there. I didn't
verse 3 says likewise.
Okay. Fair enough. I want you to be careful not to chop the list up that way and say, ah, that's to the young guys, that was a long time ago, that is not for me. I don't think that's what he's doing with most of the things on the list, saying these are for the old guys and only for the old guys. My suspicion is that most of these things apply to all of us, but some categories struggle more with this than others, okay? So older men have struggles that are unique to being older, that maybe younger women, not saying the quality isn't important for them, not as big of an area of struggle. Does that make sense? And so I often think there's more behind the New Testament lists than we appreciate, and they probably need some more pause and some more thought, okay? So, yes, ma'am. Ladies have to stay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm here. The scripture that says fathers do not provoke their children to wrath, I think that's more prone to men. Not that women couldn't do it.
No, go, yes, yeah.
You know,
I had a mom.
But I think fathers, you know, watch that. Yeah. And I think that's this.
Yeah, I think if you think. Yeah, I think if you think about that, you can see how that works. That there are going to be certain qualities that will be a bigger struggle for one group over another, okay? So I think it's a struggle, it's a characteristic for all of us to ponder. Now, see, Kenneth, that was coming to you, bud. I just need you to hang on one more line down the page, that's
no
all.
No problem.
And that is, I am interested in how the translations differ, and this will be, to some degree, a word class. And so when you're working the words, I would invite you to look in different translations, because especially with this word, I'm guessing this is the first word in the old man list, right? And I bet you're reading in a Bible, many of you, that doesn't say that. What does it say?
Sober.
How many says sober? Raise your hand, let me see. So that's how many KJV people we have. Oh, the minded people are the ESV crowd. How many are you with Jeff on the ESV crowd? Yeah, sober-minded. Minded is an interesting addition there. Anybody's read differently than that? Have a different word there.
I have all the versions here.
You? I'm sorry, you have what?
All of them. CSV says self-controlled.
Oh, I thought you were going to keep going. No, that's good, that's good. I did not want
to
talk. I've already gotten in trouble from your husband. And I did not want to talk over.
Temperate, self-control, sober-minded. That's Spanish. Temperate, sober.
What's the Spanish?
Sober. I can't read it. I'm not going to embarrass myself. That's probably Greek. I don't know. Chinese, all of that. But
what I was reading of, the only word I saw was level-headed, which I thought was an interesting word to have there. One of the reasons I wanted to explore that is I don't know that we use the word temperate a lot, do we?
No.
I'm trying to think if I have used that word in a sentence in the last 5 years, and I am not sure, unless I was reading the Bible, that is part of my vocabulary, right? So, pause a second. If you were going to use the word, how would you use it? What's that word mean to you?
Restraint.
Restraint. I'm going to start throwing some stuff on the board.
The kids today would say chill.
Would say what?
Chill.
I'm not sure that the kids today would say that. You may be
maybe the kids of my day.
You may be dedicated. Wait. Well, I'm going to put that on the board just because that's fun. I'm sorry. Yes. You would use the word chill? He came to your rescue.
He's not one of the kids today.
He's also not a kid for today.
David, I can give modern day, Gen Alpha or Gen Z slang. It would be lock in.
Wait.
Lock in, fam.
Yeah. I'm not writing that on the board. I have curiosity. I will tell you. I can think of a setting where I might use this word temperate, but it would not be to refer to people.
Temperate weather.
weather, climate. Now, I can see using the word to refer to climate. What does having a temperate climate mean?
Reasonable.
Pleasant.
Pleasant.
Is it?
Not too cold.
Chill.
Moderate.
If you think of the Victorian times, they had temperance leagues. And they would go out and try to get people not to drink.
Oh, hold that thought. So this happened to be Wednesday too, that my class all night was just in the next point on my outline. So thank you. Okay, I appreciate that. Hold that thought. I'm coming right back to you. A temperate climate is a present one because it's not too hot, imported to Texans, and not too cold. It's kind of nice and pleasant in the, let me give you another word. It's moderate. And it's not, who said it? It's not extreme one way or the other. Yes, sir.
I just said moderate.
Own it, buddy, own it. It's all yours. Mark gets moderate all night long. It's going to be one of those nights I just feel it. Go back to what you were saying about alcohol, because that's you go back in the teens and 20s when the big prohibition thing was going on and there were temperance leagues that fought against alcohol and the problem. Well, in fact, I think typically in terms of people, that's what we most associate that with, not being excessive in the drinking of alcohol. Okay? Yes, sir.
So, well, and that's kind of what I was thinking with my term of sober in my verse is that today, when you never use the word sober for anything but
what?
Not being drunk.
Not yeah. drunk.
And so I would never put that, I never think of when I'd put that in a sentence for anything but it.
Yeah. So in fact, lots of translations in this spot put the word sober. And when we think of sober, sobriety, that's what we think of. We think of it as exclusively having to deal with alcohol. Biblically speaking, I think that's true, but I think the word biblically is bigger, and that makes sense, doesn't it? Because even when you're dealing with not drunk, being sober, what's really the issue there?
You're clear-headed.
Clear, okay, right? Moderate, pleasant, maybe, restraint,
sincere.
Things that are lost. I'm sorry?
Sincere.
Sincere, things that are lost when you're drunk, clear thinking, okay? The interesting one that some of you said popped up in your translation was self-control. Some places, some translations insert the word self-control. How do you work that one in? Tell me about that. How does that fit the genre? Can I say it like that?
Being command of all of your faculties.
Be in command of your faculties. That's another interesting idea.
If you leave the last three letters off of that word, it's the word temper.
Okay.
So not having a temper or using, being in control of your temper.
Yeah, the struggle with should I pick on my wife? Get underneath the temper problem. What is the problem when somebody's temper has taken control?
Yeah,
there's something else is controlling, which by the way is the problem with being drunk, right? I'm not in my right mind. I'm not controlling. Passions rule rather than principles. That's what you were going to say? Yes.
Yeah, they're trying to solve, lose your temper, you're trying to solve a logical problem with emotion.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you guys have all seen this. Somebody lose it, right? Give to their anger, let the anger run to you, and what happens?
Bad things.
Bad things.
Things are said that shouldn't be.
Yeah, you say things you shouldn't say.
Regret.
Yeah. To me, I think about road rage, right? I mean, road rage has to be the picture of stupidity in our culture today, right? Because what typically starts road rage?
Me.
Don't go too deep with this. I'm talking about literally.
They lose their temper.
Yes, I know that. But what instigates
selfish.
It? What's
they can't get him when they want to get him.
Something happens in traffic, like I feel like somebody turned out in front of me when they could see I was going a certain speed, which means what for you? They're being inconsiderate, and maybe I'm inconvenienced because I had to slightly slow down, which just proves to me you're not a good driver because you're doing this right at the Tetris game, and you just whip over in the other lane, and that slowdown's not a problem for you. If you see me on Luetta, you know this is true. But my point about that is it's a petty little thing. And you do realize there are people in Huntsville that are in jail for the rest of their life because they were going to settle a score with someone that cut them off in traffic. There's a word for that.
Stupid.
Yeah. Royally. How do you think that looks to him today when he's eating chow with the inmates? Wow. Yeah. So that's what happens when the mind doesn't run the show anymore. And then the other word used in some of the translations is the word level-headed. Have I put that on the board? I think I have. Tell me about level-headed.
You're reasonable.
Reasonable. Okay. What else do you think of when you think of level-headed?
Calm.
Not making rash decisions.
Sorry?
Not making rash decisions.
Or yeah, not making rational decisions. Not being rash. Thank you. What else?
Don't say where you're thinking.
That is phrased in such an interesting way. Sometimes there is a need to control what's coming out of your mouth that you've got in your head. To be rash.
Controlling what's in your head.
What's that?
Level-minded is controlling what's in your head.
Well, you know, that is the deeper thing, right? So I just read through a bunch of places to grab definitions and look at the list on the board and think about this. Clear-headed, moderation, I think that's up there. Serious, I think that's up there. Mental clarity. Restraint, that's up there. Impaired. Those were all words that were used in the definition of temperate. Question. Give me the picture now. What do you see? What does it mean to be temperate? Put it all together.
You have your mind.
Sorry?
You have your mind under control.
Come on, guys. Mind under control.
In all situations.
In all situations. Okay? Great. Someone else, what do you think? Put it all together. What does it mean to be temperate?
Someone who doesn't act quickly.
Someone who doesn't act quickly because they are
in control. In control, but also trying to actually evaluate something before they respond, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just reacting. It's responding, not reacting.
Yeah. If we start thinking about this, do y'all start getting proverbs in your head that are just directly connected to this? Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Right?
Emotionally mature.
I'm sorry?
Emotionally mature.
Yeah, emotionally mature, in control, calm. Mark Richardson fussed at me last Wednesday in the Ephesians class because I did not use the old King James word, circumspect. Since Mark is basically living in the 70s, he was unhappy that I didn't use the word circumspect. So please, if you have an opportunity, go up to Mark tonight, use the word circumspect, and say I used it in class. But that is an interesting word, right? Circumspect. What does that conjure up in your mind?
Going around the world.
going around the world. Sensitive to you there, Kenneth, but I think that's a different word.
That makes me back to the word reasonable. Slow, so you're listening to understand what's going on around you before you respond to that. And if someone is saying something that seems first unreasonable, you go, you wait and think about it and go,
For some reason, when I think of a person, thank you for that. When I think of a person who's circumspect, I think of somebody that's looking at the path in front of them, right?
That's what I was thinking.
And they're thinking about where they're going, what they're doing, what they're saying.
Like walking that narrow way, just keep it straight.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I want you to look at the third word in the old man list. We're in Titus 2, guys. I want you to look at the third word in the old man list and tell me what it is.
Temperate. Mine says temperate. So.
Yours says temperate. What translation is that?
New King James.
Yeah, okay.
You're out.
Self-control. All
right,
so self-control.
ESV. Sensible.
Oh, ESV people, I knew it. Sensible. The problem translation.
It goes the proper translation.
The proper translation, yes. It's the Jeff approved translation. So, isn't it interesting that translators, in some cases, actually flip these two words? One uses sober in one spot and temperate in the other, and the other reverses it and does the other thing with it.
So what's the Greek? That's what we... Let's get Jeff in here. Figure.
You know what? If you wanted the Greek, you are in the wrong class. Next door. But it is interesting, and I would say that... that I want to be careful that we don't think it hinges on knowing the Greek. I'm really, really more interested in messing around with the text and seeing what's going on with the text. What does it tell you when translators usually use this, translators actually use the same word, right? And then flip it. What does that tell you about the two words? These are very, very similar ideas. So why use both words? Why not just use temperate or sober and be happy with it?
Emphasizing it.
Maybe. Maybe there are nuances of meaning here. Maybe the point is he wants to emphasize it. But I will tell you, if you go look up the word, they actually, in defining the word, use the other word. What does it mean to be sober? Temperate. Right? What does it mean to be temperate? Sober. Right? That's, well, we didn't put it on the list. We should have. So
what is your third word?
What's my third word?
What's your third word in your translation?
In the... Man, you know, Kenneth is just baiting me. Y'all should probably address that word.
I've looked at the Greek and...
It's sensible.
It's power over oneself.
Yes, yes. Here's the interesting thing, though. Temperate is only said about old guys. But that third word, in my translation, sensible, is said to... younger women in verse 5. It's said to younger men in 2 in verse 6. And it's said of all of us in 2 in verse 12 that the gospel instructs us to live sensibly in this present age. Isn't that interesting?
That says
soberly. Soberly. So I do think it's, I think sometimes there are nuances of meaning. That's fair, and I think that's true here to a degree, but I don't know that the ideas are really all that different. Do y'all remember talking about this word when we talked about alcohol in a sermon a few weeks ago? This is the word that we're called to live sensible lives, and the problem with things like alcohol or anger is that things like that rob us of our ability to act sensibly. When I drink, what happens to me? When I drink too much, what happens to me?
Stupid.
What? Did you just say we act stupid?
I said I get stupid.
Okay. Thank you. What else? Break it out for me.
They often in control of what they say or how they act.
I'm not really in control anymore. Yeah. What else?
When you're driving, you are declared impaired.
Yeah, drivers are impaired, which means what? What's lost?
Control of your body, control of your vision.
Yeah, vision is hampered.
Reaction time
is hampered. Makes the Tetris game a little more difficult, right? Sometimes you have an exaggerated sense of what you're capable of, what you can do, don't have a good perception on reality. And we talked in that sermon about how extraordinarily critical this quality is for disciples. And so let me pose that question. Why is it critical for disciples to be sober? I didn't think that was a hard question.
As an example to other people.
I have to be an example to other people.
How do you answer a question? You know, somebody comes to you and says, asks you about Christ or something. How do you respond logically and with intelligence that is going to capture their attention?
Yeah.
How do you live a pure life if you're not in
Think about that. Think about the call to be pure. When we talk about self-control being the ability to overrule your passions and to follow your principles, right? That's what self-control is. When is it ever good not to be able to do that? When is it ever good to have that ability hampered, right? So every day, think about this. Every day we're going out and battling the devil, right? Every day. Devil's vigilant. He's after me. And so when Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 5, he says, be sober. Don't let anything cloud your mind. Be in control. Be level-headed. Be restrained. Because he is seeking to take advantage of you. And this is what is lost when we let our anger get control of us, or when we cave and let alcohol control us. It's the problem with drinking. Either I'm giving myself over to the wine, or I'm going to be sober-minded. But the one causes the loss of the other. Does that make sense? Are you following me on that? So as we battle the devil every day, I think this is one of the most critical qualities we possess. And so we go through Titus 2, and what's he saying? I want my people to be sensible. I want them to be sober. I want them to be temperate. I don't want that to be compromised even a little bit. That's one of my big struggles with the alcohol question, is when is it ever good for you to lose some of this stuff, even just a little bit of it? When is it ever good to be tipsy? For a disciple. I tell you what, it is good. It is good for a guy trying to seduce a girl, right? We even have ugly language for that in our culture to describe how easier it is to get a girl in your bed when she's drunk. Why?
He doesn't have control.
Yeah, that in fact, you do realize, guys, this is a huge part of where the date rape thing comes from.
You lose inhibition.
Sorry?
You lose your inhibitions.
You lose your inhibitions? And even do you lose your ability to consent? And now we get into a whole legal nightmare of two people who've been drinking and start doing this stuff and trying to figure out where was consent and all of that. What's happened? I've lost my ability to do all these important things. And that's the nightmare that we've created in our culture because of that. Okay? So, he gets all of us here. I know we started with old men, but before he's done, really with these two words, he encompasses all of us and said, I want you to exhibit this quality. Now, we spent 30 minutes on that. And the question we're supposed to be asking in this class is, how do I live a life that's going to impact lost people around me? So we need to take the next 20 minutes and figure out what this has to do with living before people who don't know Jesus. Talk to me a little bit in your mind about how you see this quality exhibiting itself in life. What's a person look like out in the world living among lost people when he possesses temperance and sensibility? You want in on this?
Yeah, I mean, typically it's been someone who, like,
looks different, seems different. Like, at work, people ask a lot, like, that, like, it's something that gets brought up a lot. It's like, well, why don't you want to go do this, or why don't you talk like this, or why don't you act like this? Like, and then, like, why do you always say, like, you'll pray for me? Or why do you always say that you'll, like, you want to know what's going on with my family? Like, there's something different about you.
Okay.
So I think it just stands out in general with people.
Do you think, thank you for that. Let me dig a little deeper in that spot. Do you think people typically live self-controlled lives? Yeah, I think that almost everyone has some area of their life where they have self-control. Like the guys who actually think it's cool to get up at 4 a.m. and go to the gym. That's pretty disciplined. I'm drinking coffee if I'm getting up before them, not pumping iron. But then it comes out in some other area where that's lacking. I think we all battle self-control in some area of our life. Let me frame it up this way. What kind of circumstances would people tend to see the lack of restraint and the lack of moderation and the lack of self-control?
In pressure situations.
Okay, pressure.
Which is why he's telling old men, because as men get older, we lose our filter.
I don't know what Greg is talking about. Though, I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm personally offended, and I don't even know why. Let's think about pressure situations and dig that hole a little.
Call it pressure or stress, but
stress.
If you're working in a work environment and you have any kind of role that involves management, leadership, or whatever, that's a huge factor.
Stress.
It puts you in situations where you're really questioning. How should I act? What should I say? What should I do? My boss wants me to do this, but I don't really think that's right.
Okay.
Type things.
Okay. Thank you for that. What other circumstances where we find ourselves struggling to do this?
Driving on Luetta.
Or anywhere. Freeman Rose Day.
That was both tacky and correct all at the same time.
I mean, I was poking fun.
Let's be real, dealing with your spouse or children.
Okay. But what are the feelings that are coming out when we're...
Anger.
Let's keep going, because I was waiting for y'all to get to this. What's that?
Just feelings.
Just
all
feelings.
Of them.
All of the feelings.
Emotions.
Anger. When I am mad about something, right? Then anger becomes like an intoxicant, and all of a sudden, I'm not level-headed. Because you guys, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but you have known people who most all the time are very rational, reasonable people, and then there was that moment where they lost it. And you thought, oh my goodness, where did that come from? Right? We know exactly where it came from. So other things other than anger.
Patience.
I'm sorry?
Frustration.
Frustration?
I said impatience. I've said this already 5 times now. kind of thing. Selfish.
She's in patience.
Do you want me to link this back
no, not
up
to you. I was just giving an example.
Okay. Okay.
She was cracking up.
That kind of felt like children, right? All right. I thought about a bunch of guys talking at work about some new thing that outraged them. Okay? Y'all ever talk at work about things that make you mad? And it'd be anything, like some new company policy about vacation. Or they're going to pay less a percentage of our insurance, and employees get together, they start talking about that. Or politics, because y'all never talk about politics at work, right? And if you do, it's all peace and flowers and happiness when you have a political discussion. Or it may even just be the Astros. And why we hired this coach, and what's wrong with the pitching staff? And okay, so you get around other people and you share conversation about your outrages. You vent, right? Tell me about the temperate person in a conversation like that. What's he like?
Avoids the conversation.
Sorry?
Avoids the conversation.
He avoids it? He's not there? Like walks away?
Like if I hear something that's just going to make me lose my temper, I'm just not going to interact.
Tell me what that looks like. I'm not going to interact.
I don't think I've ever seen someone just do that, because a lot of the time they'll be like, say something, they'll be like, come at me, like, say that again, say that to my face. Yeah. They don't ever, or if they walk away, they come back and they retaliate again. Yeah. I've never seen someone just walk away and stay away.
My IT guy, he likes to instigate, and I don't interact with him.
Yes, ma'am.
So once upon a time where I worked before, I had a young engineer come into my office. And she was ranting and raving, she wouldn't stop. So I got out of my seat. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to see my supervisor because you have a problem that only she can solve. I can't solve this for you. We're not going to do this back and forth. We're going to go there. And she didn't go. She just stood there in shock. But I'll let it anyway. Let her have her space. She's having a moment. Yeah. I'll let her have her moment.
Let me ask you, thank you for that. Have you ever seen someone that's in one of these venting crowds that just said nothing? Just quiet. And maybe what they did is they let everybody get vented, and just about the time all the venting was played out and everybody was just tired of complaining, they spoke up and said something brilliant. You seen that? That's beautiful, isn't it? What's that?
Be that with your kids.
He's bringing the family back in.
I raised two boys. I know how that goes.
I don't know if I'm being recorded or not, so I better not. I'm not even going to reply to that. Yes?
I have been dealing with my children when they were younger. Just said, you know, I'm not sure exactly what's going on right now, but I'll get back with you, or let me think about this, or especially teenage girls. They get really frustrated and emotional.
Two of my sisters go to church here, and I need to sit this one out too. My heart is saying amen, but I'm just thinking. Yes, ma'am.
So I work at McDonald's, and the customers can get really, like when I work in the drive-thru, and the customers can get really annoying and really angry.
Well, it's like YouTube material, frustrated McDonald's.
They get so angry for no reason over the smallest thing, and there was a time where I knew I was about to just let loose and just yell at them and insult their Happy Meals and everything. So then my coworker Danny takes my headset and says, go walk.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we get pulled into these things. In fact, that kind of was another category I wrote down in my notes, and that is, what does a temperate man do in an argument when he's being verbally assaulted and insulted? It's not just someone's disagreeing and disagreeing hotly. It becomes a personal attack against him. How does somebody with this quality behave?
How did Jesus do it? Because he had a lot of it.
I have to walk away.
You gotta walk away?
I do not have self-control in my face. And then my guard's stuck, so I've had to get up and walk away, absolutely, especially at work.
Yes,
and
sir.
Normally, a few times it's happened, normally something happens that helps. I run into someone pleasant, or, you know, and then I'm like, okay, let me get, that was so minor, I just needed to get away from it, and then it's all good. But
yep.
I had to remove myself.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that.
You know, I had a boss that was like that, and all he would do is he'd just sit there and look at you. And then when you were done, he would just say, what else you got? That was it.
I think the temperate guy is the guy that doesn't take the bait. and chooses quietness more often than engagement. Right?
But is that doesn't take the bait with the emotion, or does it take the bait with the answer? Because if you're responsible for a team of people,
sure,
and you've got other managers, departments coming at you, have the bone to pick with your team, you can't just not reply. So if you're in that situation, you have to reply, but you have to reply calmly as you can, and be sensible and logical with your response.
Yeah.
So you have to keep as best you can keep the emotion out of it.
Proverbs
in certain situations, you can't just walk away.
Proverbs 15:1.
Yeah.
The gentle answer.
It depends on the power dynamic.
Okay. Want to unpack that?
Sure. So you're going to react differently with, say, your boss versus you are the boss.
Oh.
So, and there's so many different examples of that. I mean, I think everybody's got a story on that.
Yeah. Back up a little bit to 2 Timothy, and I want to remind you of a passage we looked at last week, because it's almost the roadmap to deal with exactly these kind of situations. Remember 2 Timothy 2:23? This is the temperate man in an argument. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all. That's why we went there last week. Able to teach, and so he is saying something, right? Patient with wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. Then it goes on with a spiritual angle on that. But you see the point, right? So it's not saying don't speak, right? It's saying don't take the bait to get into a battle with somebody. So kindness is still in play. Answers are still in play. You just don't become like the person without God. Yes, ma'am.
So yeah, in verse 8, it says sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly. The goal is to win them over, right? So I just want to give y'all an example to think about. Because as I worked on this idea, I actually think we have a person in this church who beautifully before us all the time exhibits this quality.
Randy.
Yeah, it's Randy. How many of y'all were thinking Randy when I said that, right? Okay, so I have to tell you something. I've known Randy since I was a high school kid, and he actually taught at my school, so I've known him a long, long time. Randy's one of the wisest people I know. I don't bug Randy with questions all the time. But I got to tell you, when I have a heavy question, I talk to Randy. I want to know what he thinks about it. But I have sat in so many meetings over the last 6 years with Randy, and I would say that I have heard him speak less than any other person in the room. There are many, 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 many meetings where Randy says absolutely nothing. And a few meetings where I thought, dude, say something. Because you know he's got it, right? It's there. He just sits quietly. But there are times where Randy raises in. And it's usually at the back end of the conversation where everybody's kind of said all they're going to say. And he'll say, think about this. And it's usually like 3x5 card size, right? Just this little bitty quick, maybe a sentence. And I wanted to mention that to you because I think he's a great example. If you want to know what temperate looks like in life, watch Randy. And I think he exhibits that. And in that way becomes an example to us. Okay? Tell me how this might impact an outsider. If you lived a Randy-esque life and set that kind of example and behaved that way, how would that influence somebody that was not a disciple? Maybe make them think about Jesus.
So, David.
Okay, if you're going to sit in the corner, you have got to be...
I know. So, in the 2 Timothy passages, the 26th verse, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You know, I wish I thought about this when I was a young man and getting into these confrontations, but instead of looking at that person, understanding that they're doing what Satan wants them to do. And maybe if I'd really thought about that, I would have handled it differently. Because as a Christian, I should be doing just the opposite, hoping to get them to see where they're at.
I think that's really, really a critical piece of interacting well with lost people. I think too often we see lost people as the enemy, and they're not the enemy. Who's the enemy? Yes, and they've been held captive by him to do this as well. Not saying they're without guilt. Don't hear me say that.
Right.
I'm just saying they're deluded and deceived by the devil. And so I think lost people are to be pitied, not hated. Yes, John?
We spend a lifetime in the Word trying to master the qualities that the Lord wants us to have. But in Titus 2, in the end of verse 5, it kind of sums it up, that your response... so that the word of God will not be dishonored. If we approach things in that manner,
yep,
our responses will be a lot different. Randy can talk to people very patiently and not raise his voice and take a different angle if it's not going the way it should, where a lot of us will get very frustrated and, you know, just say something we shouldn't say.
Yep. So there is that, there's that self-discipline piece of it. There's one thing I want to say about this quality to understand, I think, its role in reaching lost people before we're done. I titled this a soil prepping quality. Do you see what I'm saying? This is not like going and handing someone a car and inviting them to visit worship, okay? This is a long-term way of behaving that I think causes people, I think Mark said something about this beginning, to pause and take note. There's something different about him. He does not react and behave as everybody else does. And that may not impress me today, but when my season comes, and I'm thinking, I need to get to know the Lord better, I need to be looking around, who are they going to go to? Who are they going to talk to? Yes?
I mean, even the friends of our kids at school, you know, friends of their parents, you know, whatever. Like, we've had some conversations with quite a few of them as of late. And I think it's interesting that we can have, some of them just don't believe in anything.
Right.
They think it's interesting that they can talk to people sensibly about differences in how they view things or how they haven't thought of things before. And how they're like, man, it's like really encouraging to be able to talk to a Christian and not feel like I'm immediately the issue because I'm not a Christian.
Yeah, think how valuable, thank you for that. Think how valuable this trait is in a culture that is increasingly so hostile about everything. I mean, you're either on the right side or the wrong side, and if you don't agree with me political, I'm not sitting by you on the airplane, right? I mean, it's that kind of really, really hostile setting. Think how noticeable a temperate person would be who can have a reasonable conversation with anybody, right? That's Matthew 5:14, guys. That's a city set on a hill. So we're called to be. All right, we'll pick it up next week. Thank you for the help.